Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 138 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We'll begin in entertainment with the Snyder Cut releasing early, some conflict with DC and their artists, a old cartoon character getting canceled, and the Boys spinoff. Then we'll move over into tech and discuss this Microsoft hack, some deepfake spotting tools, Google tracking you in incognito mode, and some space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
And we're back with episode 138. And yeah, no time for small talk. No time to just chat about our lives. There's a lot to get to this week.
Yeah, it's a full outline. And some of these stories are a little out there, and I'm sure they're going to spark some conversation. So let's just run right into this.
Yeah, we might as well. I know you saw Tom and Jerry in the theater. Any chance you watched it on HBO Max last week?
No, I didn't. I didn't venture into a rewatch of Tom and Jerry at home.
Well, apparently you missed out because
did I though?
So the Snyder Cut. For Justice League here, apparently some people who went to go watch Tom and Jerry got somebody's mistake over at HBO Max, and they were able to view the Snyder Cut released early under Tom and Jerry.
Which I don't know how that happens. Like somebody moved
fired.
The wrong file. Somebody moved
I feel
the
like
wrong.
somebody who really just didn't like their job anyway, like called their best friends, was like, "Hey, yo, go check out Tom and Jerry right now." Like, this is only going to work for about an hour. Go check out Tom and Jerry right now. And then he quit immediately afterwards, because otherwise that person lost their job. So hopefully, I hope it was that nefarious. I hope the person who made this mistake got something out of it, because your job is gone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there were some people excited about this. If I was going to watch, you know, Tom and Jerry with my kids and this started, I'd have turned it off. Like, I'd have turned it off and like, I could wait another week. Like, I'm trying to watch Tom and Jerry with my kids. I would not have rushed to the phone to call them all. My buddies like, "Hey, put on Tom and Jerry, Snyder Cuts leaked. So, like, hurry up, let's go. Like, nah, like, wait a week. Like, I've been swimming in this fucking hashtag for like 7 years. Like, I can wait another fucking week.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that you would at least send it out in like the group, the Facebook group or whatever else, and be like, "Hey, everybody, you might want to check out Tom and Jerry."
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm kind of a dick. I kind of like sharing the article after it's over and watching the fanboys go, "Oh,
I missed out. Yeah, I mean, it's what, premiering on the 18th, so this Thursday. So we'll finally get the Snyder Cut. I'm gonna have to see if I can fit it in my life before the next episode, before we record next Monday, to determine whether I can give my thoughts on it. I probably won't commit 4 hours to it. not right
you
away.
You can watch it in pieces. You go watch it in pieces. Like, no.
I liked it when it was going to be 4 1-hour episodes, because then at least I could justify not doing it in one sitting.
I'm going to start it at 8 o'clock when the kids go to bed. I'm going to force my girlfriend to watch 2 hours of it before she taps out and goes to bed. And I'm going to watch the rest and try to get to bed by midnight. I'll probably half watch it while I try to write this review for... I watched this Tom Holland movie this weekend about where he goes off to war in Iraq and Kuwait and comes home. And man, it was pretty intense. It was by the Russo brothers. It was like crazy drama. Okay. So yeah, it's on Apple Plus. So I'm going to write a review for that, because I don't know if a lot of people are going to go to that just because of Apple Plus and stuff. But it was definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard of it, but I also don't have Apple Plus. So
I think it was called like probably Cherry or something. Someone with CH. Huh.
But yeah, so we'll see. You know, I really kept saying that I wanted to watch the Justice League original cut before I got to the Snyder Cut, just so I could see the differences. Like, and there's been a couple times when I've thought about turning it on. I was just, no, not going to do it. Not going to put myself through that again.
I mean, me, I can squeeze it in. You, who doesn't take in any content, plenty of, like, if you're watching the original Justice League and not playing that Star Wars game or getting in a TV show that I've been begging you to watch for fucking months, I'm gonna be pissed. Like, I would be fucking pissed. If you're watching old content rather than the fucking laundry list of new shit you need to be soaking in, I'm fucking pissed.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at. It has not hit my queue of things to watch because, yeah, the queue's pretty deep with things that I know didn't disappoint me.
Yeah. So,
they may disappoint me, but they haven't yet. So, I'll keep probably skipping on that. I do really want to watch the Snyder Cut, though.
They're like, because if I'm going to have to shit on this thing, I want to steel man that argument. Like, I don't want to straw man that argument. I'm gonna steel man the shit out of that motherfucker and just roast it. And yes, on the Cantina this week, we got a lot of DC people getting real Riley up in the Cantina, and I told them flat out, next week, man, the show, I'm gonna drop some names of all you motherfuckers that are pitching this movie and hating on Marvel and busting up DC. Like, here it comes, folks. Be ready. Be ready. I'm taking names.
Yeah, I really do want to see it. I won't know most of the differences to know why this one's so much better. Hopefully I come out of it, and I really do kind of hope that it's a really good movie.
I really hope I have to come on the show next week and be like, all right, guys, all right, I was wrong. Like,
this was and the best, I don't know, to be you, but the great part is even if it's a great movie, you can still be super shitty to DC fanboys,
yes,
right?
Because yes.
You can still walk into and be like, hey, guys, you won. You got the Snyder Cut made. It's a great, great, phenomenal movie. And it's meaningless. And we know they're doing nothing with it. We know it's not a part of your overall DCEU.
They're going to recast Superman.
So best case scenario, it's just an example of what could have been. And it's nothing about the future of your favorite franchise.
You know what, though? Like, I can feel their kind of pain. And I'm not going to lie. If Lucasfilm came out and was just like, yeah, we're going to retcon the fuck out of The Last Jedi. this one's not going to count. We're going to drop another $100 million to reshoot a whole bunch of this shit and fix it all. I'd be like, okay, thank you. So I understand like major DC fans being like, just give us the movie we always wanted, and their hopes for this next one, like the Snyder Cut being better. Like, I feel that. I really do, because if they really were just like, yeah, we're going to chop the shit out of The Last Jedi and make it a good movie and we'll put it out on Disney Plus, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. I'm not going to start a hashtag for it, but but like, if they told me they were going to do it, I ain't mad at them. Like, that's for goddamn sure.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We'll talk about it next week. We'll at least get your opinions on it. Hopefully mine. Hopefully I make the time to watch it, but no guarantees on mine.
I'm liking the next story, because our fascination with NFTs is growing greatly, and now it's starting to leak into all kinds of facets of our outline segments. So let's run with this.
So we talked about NFTs last week, a little bit on what an NFT is. You know, for those who didn't listen, it's, you know, these non-fungible tokens and the ability to essentially create digital ownership that is trackable, traceable, and it also, because of the way it's designed, and you know, you can buy this digital art, you could buy, and it's not just art and music, but really just about anything can be created by digital ownership. Like, we could sell Nerd Cantina t-shirts that are tied to NFTs, and you know, as a way to support creators, right? It's just a way to support artists, way to support creators. It's a newer way of doing it, and NFTs has gotten so much talk on art. And last week we talked about the art and the NFTs and how, you know, Steve just doesn't get it at the time, just didn't get why anybody would do this. And then, like, I think it was
I started going down a rabbit hole, though, and like, I'm starting to come around, because like, with...
Was that before or after Beeple sold a single piece of art for $69 million?
No, we did
last
that.
Week.
That was before we did the story last week. So like, it was, I got that. I didn't understand how you're going to be able to like, increase the value and increase the desire for someone to want to rebuy this art, you know, because it's on a USB, it's on a screen. But then I started thinking about VR and how in probably the next 3 years, 3 to 5 years, like some short span, you're going to be able to put on a virtual reality headset. I'm going to be able to send you a link, and you're going to be able to click that link and walk through my virtual art gallery. And yeah, I mean, all my,
that's probably a thing. Yeah.
And all my NFTs are just going to be hanging on this swanky ass art gallery that I created on some, you know, createyourartgallery.com fucking site. TM, we should probably do that. and you're just going to be able to put on like your PlayStation virtual headset and walk through my art gallery and see my NFTs and like maybe be like, ooh, that's really dope. I'll have a price tag underneath it. And like, I keep forgetting that we are Ready Player One-ing the fuck out of our world right now. And that what we perceive in the lines of virtual and real life are starting to get blurred. And I really didn't kind of like go down that path last week. And now that I think about it and with the virtual reality, like, no, yep, this is never going anywhere.
I hope that's a result of me calling you a boomer at least 5 times last week for your refusal to come around to just understanding that people just crave collectibles. They crave unique items and, you know, in support of like a specific community. It's not about the actual piece of art, because you can just probably download like even what Beeple's sold. You can go and see it right now. It's not about seeing it. It's not about saving that file. It's about owning it. It's about owning it and representing your ownership of that.
You know, and this was something we had talked about in private conversations going on through the week, but you have people that now own the rights to things going to stifle the people that actually draw the things. Like, I find this is going to be a very, like, long fought out battle between copyright owners and actual content creators, because one is nothing without the other.
Yeah. So and what we're talking about here is, so the like DC specifically, and I think Marvel, and everybody's going to be tied into this. Like, this is not specific to DC. I'm certain.
Oh, Disney's going to put the kibosh on all. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But what we have right now is, you know, publicly the DC has come out already and stated that, they're not permitting people to sell NFT art of any of their characters currently. Not saying that they're not going to outlaw it altogether, but they've created their VP of Legal Affairs is currently looking at what the options are, looking at how to extend NFTs into of their characters and sell NFTs. And DC is coming up with a plan on how to capitalize on the NFT market.
Well, you're going to have to, their DC in your licensing agreement. You know, an artist gets a licensing. You know, if you want to make Batman t-shirts, you got to buy a licensing agreement from DC, and they will allow you to print out Batman t-shirts. In that agreement, I'm sure there's always been a profit percentage, you know, that you got to pay a lump sum, and then probably a profit percentage. I know some people who've bought these licenses and have used them, or, you know, I have a lot of friends in the industry. These licenses aren't cheap, man. Like, no, you're talking 6 figures to be able to buy a license to be able to take these characters and do what you want with them. So I just see this as them trying to work out what is the best percentage to lock in on the NFTs. Cause yeah, like I was looking at NFT artwork this week, and right there it says, you know, artist retains 15% of all sales. So now it's going to be, you know, artist retains 20% of all sales with 10% going to DC Unlimited or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I don't really know where this goes from here. It, you know, I'm sure as like the artist for these companies, what they're thinking is, how is this any different than us selling our own commission pieces at the con, selling our own commission pieces online? We do this all the time. And well, now
they've given cease and desist to some artists at cons. Like, the cons is just a really weird kind of thing, because it's something they just turned a blind eye to. Because if they were to take the cons away from artists, then a lot of these artists couldn't survive just on covers alone. And they know that. So then you're going to lose a lot of great artists, you know, to regular 9-to-5 jobs or other forms of art. So they want to keep their artists happy that are in-house, that are producing the artwork that sells the comics. So it was kind of that thing where they just were like, all right. But then once you hit a certain level of profitability, they were like, yeah, no, fuck you. You could buy a licensing agreement now.
Yeah. And I think actually then taking a pause on this and figuring it out is probably going to save some artists from litigation and some problems in the future. Like if I was an artist, I would probably also...
I'd pump the brakes on drawing the bat and
and putting it on an NFT. Like do your own original art. Get into the NFT game, go for it. Like it is,
draw some Batman stuff digitally and have it in the chamber when it's ready to when they figure this all out, you know.
Yeah, but right now I would pump the brakes, and I'm sure what's going to end up happening is DC and Marvel, what they're going to do is, with the beauty of the NFTs is, you know, unlike if you just sold a portrait that you painted, and yeah, maybe you get to sell it on that first commission. But then all that resale market that takes place from all these rich ass people who want to hang it on their wall, you don't see a cent of that as an artist. You just know that, hey, your art is living on and it's fetching a big price, but you never see it.
But this has been a problem for artists forever, you know, with concert tickets, with sports tickets. You know, the Cubs sell a playoff seat for $300 and then some motherfucker scalps it for $10,000 and nobody ever gets that money. You know what I mean? So, like, this has always been a problem for the creators and the owners of the content that we enjoy. So I do like that this solves that.
Yeah, and it also solves how do you pay DC and Marvel? And it doesn't necessarily have to come out of the artist's pocket in this regard, right? As a licensing agreement. It could just be, hey, if it's a licensed product, when you create the NFC art, you say what you want your royalties to be or what your kickback is on any sale ever in the life of this thing. And like a lot of times it's kind of set as like a standard of like 10%. An artist gets 10%. So they get 100% of the initial sale and then 10% of every resale that ever takes place on the NFT token. And you can set that higher or lower. So now what's probably going to happen is Marvel and DC is going to say, hey, you can continue just selling art, but you're not going to get 100% of that initial sale. We're going to get a certain amount up front, and we're going to get a certain portion of every sale of that piece forever,
Where I think the war is going to start is with lawyers in a room from pre-existing licensing agreements. So, like,
because they're going to say it doesn't extend to NFTs. This is
everybody else is going to say, yeah, no, fuck you. You just gave me the rights to Batman. I own the rights to Batman. I'll do whatever the fuck I want with Batman. And I think,
no, you have the rights to Batman on paper. This is in paper.
So, yeah, I think that is where the war will be fought, is going forward. Anybody buying a licensing agreement is going to have NFT verbiage in the contract. There's no way it won't. And then
I still think that this benefits all in the sense that it actually should make litigation easier, because it's easier to track all sales and it's easier to divide up the portions of the sales than ever historically. Like
what I see kind of happening now is these people got tons of fucking money. I would not be shocked if WB and Disney create their own motherfucking blockchain.
I mean, I would not be surprised.
Tell me you wouldn't buy Hulk tokens. Tell me you wouldn't buy Hulk tokens. Like, fucking Dogecoin is shooting through the fuck to the moon. Man, like, Black Bolt lives on the moon. Give me a Black Bolt token. Like, I'll buy that shit. You know, there's a whole handful of fucking people in the world that would buy $100 worth of that crypto just to say they fucking have it. Just to say they fucking have it.
It's possible. I don't know. I went deep diving into NFT nonsense, and the things that people are creating as NFTs right now, as these tokens, it is wild. You know, Rob Gronkowski just made $1.8 million last week selling his first token trading card.
Yeah,
that he created himself. Like,
bro, you don't understand how mad I am that we're not technically savvy to do a lot of this shit, because there should be a Good Day Nerds NFT GIF we fucking make and put
it's incredibly easy to do.
I want to make a Nerd Cantina NFT. Like, I want to do this.
All right. Grandma, get ready. You're going to be our customer. Somebody's buying it, whether it's grandma or not. I don't know. This NFT thing, I'm sure we're going to talk more and more about this now that it's in our world of interest. So hopefully people listening to this are also interested in learning more about the craziness of this NFT market, because sorry about your luck, but we're not done with it.
Yeah, we got to keep moving.
We are for today.
Keep it moving.
All right. you know, let's move on to a topic that let's not get too. I know where this is going to go.
I know. And I'm going to make somebody mad.
So we've got a Looney Tunes character getting canceled from Space Jam and probably from WB altogether. And that's Pepe Le Pew is the latest victim of what you could call cancel culture.
Oh, he's going to become some alt-right mascot for sure. For sure. There's somebody on 4chan making that motherfucker right now.
And I'm not going to... So I am here to say I'm fully behind this one.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't care.
Yep, that's fine.
I don't care about Pepe Le Pew.
Don't care.
And, like, he was pretty rapey. Like, yeah. You know, like there's... There are times I had to like think back to Pepe Le Pew, and I get it. Like it was always kind of like from a U.S. American cartoon thing. It was really just
making fun of the French. It's making fun of the French. It's making fun of the French.
But at the same point in time, I was thinking about it. And it's like, now this dude was either outright trying to force himself on a cat, and at a minimum, he was Bill Cosby in this cat all the time and trying to drug and put this cat to sleep. So yeah, that's a super creepy cartoon character. And yeah, I don't think kids need to worry about that today.
Well, with this kind of stuff though, I just feel like we are in this really weird place in society right now. So we're canceling Pepe Le Pew for all the right reasons. Right. But at the same time, we have young girls on TikTok and Instagram popping their ass in every video that they possibly can.
How are you going to put that caveat in here?
So we need to let like society take a step back and adjust and figure out properly where we want, you know, future courting to go. Because I'm telling you right now, there's still a lot of women out there that like the chase. They like to play hard to get. Sure. They like the chase. They want men to go after them. But in a cancel culture in the Me Too era, what fucking man is going to chase a woman like the way they want it to? Meanwhile, you have every 16 to 23 year old, you know, I got a pretty waist, small waist, and a thick base, like shaking their ass on every Instagram video that they possibly can. Like waving a steak in front of a Rottweiler and you know, they're on the chain, but that chain's going to break. Like we're creating like this pressure cooker of society of pent up, you know, incels not knowing what to do. Like I want a girlfriend, I want to get married, but I don't want to like cross this line. I don't want it. We're in a very like weird place with this. And I just really think as a society, we need to take a step back and start really setting out guidelines as to how women want to be treated, recognize how men are and like, just, you know, you can't, I feel bad for like that 15-year-old kid going through puberty, trying to figure out in this world where how to be nice to the girl, how to like. It's, we're in this weird place. That's all I know.
I do. It's, like I said, it's a odd commentary following the Pepe Le Pew thing, but I get it. Like, yes,
to me, it falls right in line. Like this,
I'm worried about my son and navigating navigating just future relationships.
And yeah, I have two daughters, and I don't want, you know, a Pepe, like, man, you Pepe Le Pew my daughter, I'm going to fuck you up. Like, I'm going to tell you that right now. But at the same time, like, yeah, I do recognize that, you know, there are a lot of women out there that coming up are just going to be like, why aren't guys talking to me? Like, oh, let me shake my ass a little more. That's not the answer, okay? Like, because we're only setting ourselves up for major fucking issues if you think that being more provocative in a Me Too era is how we should, you know, attract men and make ourselves desirable, when really, like, you know, women are going to have to start stepping up to a plate and start hitting on the guys they like, because guys are going to be way too afraid to be, you know, hashtag peppy whenever they fucking try to slide into girls' DMs.
I like this direction that we're taking, making Pepe Le Pew like a verb. to Pepe Le Pew somebody. Like, I just want to see
Did
it
you Le Pew that girl? You need a backup offer.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew Cuomo accused of Pepe Le Pewing another staffer.
That's the thing is, I don't feel sorry for all these old guys from the old generation where they used to walk through offices and smack girls on the ass and do all the like I don't feel bad for you motherfuckers at all, you know, but there is a whole nother generation of men that are going to want to be, you know, they're going to want to do things right, and they're going to want to, you know, find a spouse, find a, you know, a mate. And in this area, you're going to have half these girls are all about the Me Too era and are strong, independent women. But then you do have another half of women that, like, no, want to shake their ass and have the guys chase after them. There's women out there that don't want men yelling out of cars at them. And then there's women out there where the highlight of their fucking day is when a dude yells out of the car at them. So where are we at? What are we doing here, folks?
All right, that went completely. I thought I knew the direction this was going to head, and
I always surprise you. Like,
you quickly cast away Pepe, which I thought you might have had a little resistance to, not in the sense of caring about Pepe, but just telling people just to leave things alone. And instead, you went the other way. All right, unpredictable. Let's move on to the next one here, and that's with the. The Boys spinoff. Hey, I think we've talked about in the past, I think, about this Boys spinoff. I forgot about it. And then there's some recent casting news. So just put it out there for everybody to remember that there is a Boys spinoff, which sounds interesting to me in the sense of, you know, they've hired on like one of the actresses from, was it Jazz Sinclair from the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina from Netflix. If anybody's watched that.
I'm two seasons in. It's not a bad show.
No, it's not bad. You're going to hate season 3. there's a lot of singing. I didn't care for it. It got weird. And then Lizzie Broadway from Here and Now. I don't know who that is. But anyway, they cast those two people. And then they've given public statements as far as what the show is about. And it's like set in the only college owned by Vought for superheroes. And it's all about like
they're trying to do an American version of My Hero Academia or some shit.
I think that's in it talks, you know, it talks very much about it being like part Hunger Games with all kinds of raunchy satire and stuff like that. Like I'm thinking like, you know, Van Wilder College with superheroes. Like this is the direction that I think that the Boys is going to go. And I think it's going to be phenomenal. So
yeah, we'll give it a shot. Right. The spinoff for Walking Dead was somewhat successful. Like I don't think it's going to get the love the original got, but I'm sure it'll be profitable. So I'm here for it.
All right. And then let's get through the rest of the entertainment here. We've got just a quick update just because this is some spectacular like fan trolling of Christopher Nolan with a YouTuber took the entire Tenet movie and somehow crammed it into a Game Boy Advance cartridge so that way he could play Tenet as it was always designed, on the smallest screen possible.
I just hope like people like this have like a job or something in their life that they do is productive, and this is just like a side hustle. Because like, if you have
this is how he just made money on getting YouTube views for people to come check out how he did this. And this guy just made probably a fair amount of money doing this.
I don't know. Like YouTube residuals aren't that much.
I mean, they're not, but they can be.
They can be, but not for
he just got himself a certain amount of subscribers from this one alone, from idiots like us finding this hilarious, because Christopher Nolan was all about how his movie needed to be seen in the cinema and it needed to be seen in its full glory at the theater and everything else. And
well, like anytime I watch like prison documentaries or like stuff like that, you see like how ingenuitive prisoners are at like sending messages, sneaking in contraband, like doing all this shit, and you're just like, holy fuck, like that's you have a rat delivery system all planned, like you have pulleys, like you, like if you were just that ingenuitive in your real life, you might not be in jail. Like you could probably be doing something way better with your life, you know, and like this kind of like falls into that category. Like I look at this tech dude that crammed Tenet into a goddamn Game Boy, and it's like, you know, you you probably could have took that time and knowledge and maybe did something more productive to society with it. But instead, instead we got Game Boy Tenet, I guess. All right, cool. So I just hope there's an aspect of his life where he takes these talents and it actually is productive for either his family or society. But as of right now, we just got Game Boy Tenet and all right, that's cool.
Yeah, it probably wasn't that difficult for this guy to do in the first place. I imagine it really wasn't that difficult. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong here, but it probably wasn't too terribly hard to compress it down. You know, probably the more difficult thing he did was trying to figure out how to make a tiny little label for his Game Boy Advance.
What game did he delete? That's what I don't know. What game did he delete? Like, what Game Boy Advance game? You're like, well, fuck this game. I think that says more about you than anything.
All right. And then we've got, you know, Microsoft completed their acquisition of Bethesda this last week, yeah. Making some announcements and opening
threw
up some
all
games,
them games game on Game Pass right away. Like, y'all like games? Here's games, y'all.
Okay, were you worried about us acquiring Bethesda? Well, here you go. Here's a bunch of free games in your Game Pass subscription.
Yeah, and like the minute this went through, someone shared the article in the Nerd Cantina, and if you went to the actual comments, not the comments in our group, but the comments on the article, so many salty PlayStation people. Yeah. So many salty, like, you know, some of them, the disgruntled spouse that like, well, fuck you, I didn't love you anyways, shit ass fucking Fallout, you know. and then you had the fans that were, you know, like, well, it was nice. Like, it was nice playing all these games. I hope you guys are happy where you land, but I won't be able to play you anymore. Like, there's just so many reactions, man. It was funny. It was really funny.
Yeah, and you know, Microsoft is still committing to the fact that whatever games were exclusive to PS5 before will remain exclusive. They're going to honor those contracts. And games like Elder Scrolls and stuff like that have been on both platforms, they don't intend on making them exclusive to Microsoft at this time. So,
if you wanted to play the third sequel in a line of games, you might get fucked.
That might be the case. You never know. But as of right now, they're saying no. They're not going that direction and rolling these things.
The thing about Xbox is it really exclusive? Like, do you only own a PlayStation? Do you not own a computer? Like, what fucking asshole owns a goddamn PlayStation or Xbox and doesn't have access to a fucking regular computer in their house? You know, so
yeah, but that's not the same. Not every
if that was the only way I could have played God of War previously, I'd have played it on my computer and I sucked it up. I would have just upgraded my computer a little bit so I could play the games that I can't play because I don't have the system. So like, Xbox is basically just saying, like, you just can't play it on your PlayStation. You can buy a $60 controller, Bluetooth it to your fucking computer, and pay $15 a month to Xbox and play these games as much as you fucking want. Like, I don't see PlayStation offering that fucking service, letting fans that don't own a PlayStation at least have access to their fucking games.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to, like, an exclusive PlayStation title is truly exclusive to PlayStation. But I actually think Microsoft is, they're not going to go against those agreements. I don't see them doing it. There's just more money in not. Like, they're going to get enough of the exclusive titles that'll drop some people specifically to Xbox. But in the end, like, if I was Microsoft, I would love to just make money on PlayStation anyway and let me sell my games on your console anyway. It's a win for me anyway. So I don't see them. I think they're going to stick with, you know, whatever the next version of
to me, yeah, you know who
Skyrim,
this really
Elder Scrolls
fucks
is going
to
be available to both.
Like, I really think this fucks the PC elitist, because like, every PC elitist, like, I don't care about your console. My computer has fucking a dickwad of teraflops, and I don't give a fuck, you know. And it's like, yeah, but you're playing Xbox games on it, buddy. Like you literally just spent an extra $2,000 to build your own Xbox to play the same fucking game I'm playing right now on a fucking system that was 25% fucking cheaper. Like, Good fucking, good job, buddy. Way to fucking go. Like, so yeah, I really think this just really fucks the PC elitist, because now you're just an Xbox player to me. You're just playing Xbox. I don't give a fuck.
Well, the elitist would just say, you just don't understand.
I play on Steam. Understand. I play on Steam. You don't Steam. Understand
the benefits. Yeah, here. So, all right. And then I think that's it for our...
I think that's entertainment, yeah.
Getting caught up on entertainment and video game news here. We can roll into
deep fakes are a little in both. Tech. It's a little foot in both worlds.
It could. It could entertain us. It could also scare the hell out of us. So we've got some deep fake news here. And the first one is that, you know, there's a deep fake spotting tool that has come out and said that it's 94% effective at identifying deepfakes on the internet and being able to, you know, through AI, just flag what is a deepfake and what is not. Problem with this is that only lasts for so long.
Yeah, like my thought is that the minute this article came out there, it's like, hey, who makes that other 6%? Let's do that more.
Well, and
like, fuck.
Again, when it comes to the deepfakes. They're, you know, machine learning that are teaching themselves how to be better deepfakes. So the second you come up with a tool like this, and this tool has defined it as the way that they're detecting it is by having mismatched reflections in the eyes. So that's apparently a common thing in deepfakes is that, you know, it's doing a bad job of having like reflective surfaces in the eyes. So this tool is really, really focusing in on scanning the eyes as the deepfake is going, and then it can see inconsistencies as far as what reflects off of the left and right eye. Well, yeah, the second you flag this as bad, right? The second this flags as bad, all you have to do is put that feedback into the machine learning, and the machine will say, okay, I know exactly how to trick you. Now I'm just going to get better at tricking that specific thing.
I'm sitting here dying because I'm just thinking, like, the only reason why they caught your mom's deepfake porn is because they didn't see the cameraman in the gleam of her eye.
Yep. If you didn't listen 2 weeks ago, we went way too hard on people's moms and deepfake porn.
you can't see that boom mic and that fucking fat belly bearded grip in your mom.
Your mom is just in POV porn. Your mom doesn't get production value. It's dude with cell phone in hand.
Oh, Jesus.
I got to reset here for a moment.
I know. I'm dying here. I'm like, I couldn't keep my laughter down while you're giving that last sentence. I'm fucking crying. Oh, but God.
Again, this is similar to how deepfakes used to be detected because of blink rates, because of how just inconsistent the blinking was on most deepfakes. And that got corrected pretty quickly once you're able to put it into software and say, hey, blink better.
Blink more.
and now, you know, you could feed this right back into the machine learning system and say, hey, this is, you know, you're being deemed as not authentic.
And the people making these videos are going to troll it. So like in the reflection of Betty's eye, now you're going to see like Tenet, you know, like yeah. you're going to have these reflections. They're going to imprint them in, and like some egghead's going to zoom in on the frame, and it's going to be like, is that Pepe Le Pew? Oh, God.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good that there are, I guess, these companies and universities. I think this came from a university. Yeah, University of Buffalo. I get it. It's good.
No, we need people out here doing this, but you got your work cut out for you.
Yeah,
like,
but
you're never going to be able to stop. You're never going to be able to stop.
Like, yeah, this is the tech fighting itself in the sense that every time you find a flaw to detect, once you make that flaw publicly available, that flaw is now used to make itself better. So,
like, at what point we'll do we just like tell people to stop writing these articles? Like, if you figured it out, shut the fuck up. Don't tell anybody. Just fucking let it ride for a while.
But if you don't say something, then this grad student who just did this at University of Buffalo doesn't get his credit on his, like, on his project here, right?
Sorry, man. Like, you, this isn't one of those jobs you go in for the fame. Like, you go in, you do it for the love of the game, man. Like, that's all there is to it.
All right, and then you know, just on more deepfakes, I don't even know if I shared this with you.
No, but, you didn't. Like, I'm just noticing there's an article on this outline that you did not even share with me. No. And I wish I would have read this article now, because I got some thoughts.
So the headline of this article is, "Woman allegedly made deepfakes to kick rivals off daughter's cheerleading squad." And this is like,
man, yeah, this is a Karen
mom,
making
deepfakes. Karen. Like, yeah, literally.
We were talking like Duarte starting like big ass wars in Africa and shit with deepfakes. And we got fucking Karens getting cheerleaders kicked off the cheerleading squad with them. Like, how fast did that happen?
Yeah. This article, it's in Pennsylvania that this happens. It was written about in the Philadelphia Inquirer and Harrisburg's newspaper about police arresting a woman in Chalfont, Pennsylvania, for using deepfakes of, I think it was three rival cheerleaders on a cheerleading squad, rivals to her daughter. And she used deepfakes to come up with still images and videos of
they're just dropping N-bombs everywhere.
Drinking. So she did it of these girls drinking and these girls naked.
That's child porn. You're going away for a while.
And shared it with
lock
to get them removed from the team for violating, you know, the school rules and stuff like that, of them drinking, smoking, and naked, sending that to the school. So, yeah, you're going to jail.
Oh, you're going to jail.
And this is...
Yes!
So here's some more threats to deepfakes.
And throw the book at her. Throw the book at her. Like, man, fuck yeah. Like, I hope she does every minute possible. You savage-ass fucking Karen. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so yeah, we're talking about all kinds of, like, the government's, you know, World War III happening because of deepfake.
I thought for sure it'd be 10 years before we had a story like this. Like, no, I thought for sure.
Realistically, it's just to make sure that, yeah, the popular kids get kicked off of the cheerleading squad.
Holy fuck, man. Oh, mom is savage.
Yeah, what's crazy is that this happened in real life before it, like, even made it into, like, a movie script. Like, you would think, like, this would be something that you'd see in, like, Mean Girls 2 or something else. Like,
oh, my God. Like, I'm shocked right now that this is already going on. I thought we were at least a few years away from this happening. Like, I thought for sure there'd be a genocide before
some cheerleading casualties. Yeah. Nope.
Holy Christ.
Yeah, don't underestimate the technical savvy of Karen.
Holy fuck.
All right, let's keep this train moving here, and we've got some, I guess, more important news things, and that's that Google is now facing a lawsuit over incognito mode tracking its customers.
Yeah,
and right now.
Yeah, incognito. Right now,
we just stole the breath from a bunch of dudes with their Pornhub history. Just, you say what?
You can hide your midget bondage fetish from your wife, but you ain't hiding it from Google, motherfuckers. Oh, God.
And yeah, so this lawsuit's going after Google because Google's still the end recipient, right? So when you go to the websites, we'll use Pornhub for an example. They're still going to track who's coming to their website, and they can still actually track. It's not even that, hey, they're getting a click view. No, they know who is still coming into their website. Like, they still are getting the demographic data, the data that benefits them. That is still getting sent.
Yeah, to Google, you are full cognito. Yeah.
Well, and Google's argument is it's called incognito mode, not invisible mode. Like, you're not invisible. Yeah. Like, people on the internet don't, like, it's not like all of a sudden you're just now slurking around the internet and nobody knows you're coming and nobody knows what's happening. It's incognito in the sense that it protects your history and your browsers and the cookies locally on your computer, but it does not conceal who you are or where you're going to the internet.
For shame. Like, Google is going to start ringing the shame bell on all you folks. Like, so that means there's somebody working at Google that has a list of all this that instantly, like, man, starts the blackmail that will come out of this story could be endless.
Somewhere like in Google Chrome or whatever else, and whatever their servers are, is they've got data tracking on like where everybody goes on incognito mode.
There's some fucking savage ass tech dude with an OxyContin addiction he needs to pay for, sending out ransom notes to all these day traders and shit. do you want your daughter to know your incognito browser history? Well, then send 5 Bitcoin to this address.
I would personally just like to see like some of the statistics be made public. Like I'd love to see.
Yeah, no Google. Names. Don't give me no names.
No names.
I love when Pornhub comes out. Like, they do that all the time. Like yeah. Like the most searched porn in like during the Super Bowl, or like they drop some really weird statistics.
This is it. Like I'd like to see like Google come out and be like, okay, on Chrome, like here's the websites that have a 10,000% increase when somebody's in an incognito browser. like here's how many hits it gets on a normal browser, and here's how many hits this website gets on
an incognito. There's nothing better to me than the people that run like the dark alley of society when they flick the lights on for a second. They just turn them on and off real quick, and you just see all those like gleamy like red eye rats like turn around and look like, oh shit. And then they turn them off real quick, and they're like, okay, back to normal. It's all good. But I love it when the shadiest parts of the internet just like turn the lights on for a second and remind society that we are all just, you know, we bounce around this world at the whims of our desires and our shameful instincts.
Yeah, no, I think it's...
I just listened to a big free will podcast, and like this goes right into it. Like, you can't help but be a dirty motherfucker. Just own it.
I can't say that I was surprised.
It's not your choice.
I wasn't surprised when I saw this, this...
Lawsuit. No, you have to assume they track everything. You have to assume
they're still going to monetize. They're still going to find a way to track this data so they can sell ad data and stuff like that. Like
your incognito browser is why you get those Wish ads, motherfucker. Wish has tapped into the incognito data of Google. And that's why when you're scrolling Facebook, all of a sudden you see a chastity belt like in like vinyl fucking outfits. You're like, why are you telling me to buy this, Wish? I didn't ask for this info. How'd I get in this algorithm? You're just looking at people's pictures of people's kids, and then Wish is like, no, you want a butt plug. No, that's what you want right now. You don't care about this kid's first day of first grade. You need this butt plug right here.
I'm now thinking through my latest wish recommendations.
You have to scroll them because you're just like, why are you trying to sell me this, Wish? Why are you trying to sell me this?
Yeah. I think that should be... all right, let's move on. I can't keep going this direction.
I've laughed way too hard for a Monday morning right now.
All right, let's talk about some serious stuff now. Let's move to the actual like real hard hitting news here. Let's follow that up, and we can do a quick update. Last week we talked about this Microsoft Exchange server hack and the breach that took place. Just some more follow ups as far as like the scope of it. When we talked about it last Monday, it was pretty new, and now we're really hearing more about how. This is bigger as far as the size and scope of it than like the SolarWinds, which at the time was the biggest, most damning hack out there. And then now, we're looking at this Microsoft Outlook Exchange server hack as being actually much larger. And there's some questionable, ways that this ended up taking place. So Microsoft always does their patches, I think on the second Tuesday of every month is when they do all their security patches. And they pumped out this security patch on the first Tuesday of the month, earlier than normal. And you know, a lot of people recognize this as, hey, this was obviously because Microsoft knew how difficult, what a big security breach this was. And they pumped out the information beforehand. Well, what we see is in like the 5 or 6 days leading up to the security patch getting pushed by Microsoft, is the volume of how many people started exploiting this and just and hacking across, like indiscriminate hacking, just a hack everybody approach. Like the headline of the article that I have here is that hack everybody you can, from Christopher Krebs, the ex-head of CISA. That was what he had said was what it looked like was happening. And you got to wonder why in like 5 days leading before this exploit was open since early January. And why in the 5 days leading up to Microsoft patching it, did you see this ridiculous volume of people coming and joining the hack? It's kind of like, there's some kind of inside information there that the hackers had.
Yeah.
Like, why did they know to just indiscriminately go hack every single system you can, put your backdoors in, and get as far reaching as possible in the days leading to the patch?
Yeah, this is that like Silk Road kind of like hack the planet type shit where, you know, there's some chat room somewhere that they're all just sharing this information and everybody went at it like, well, they can. Windows closing, folks. Get in where you fit in.
That's really what it really looks like to a lot of security experts, is that it really was a, like, somehow somebody knew, whether it was, you know, Microsoft has attributed this to a Chinese hacking group. So whether they knew, and I guess I'm thinking of it right now, you know how they might have known? Probably because Microsoft was still emailing it, knowing that they had their own fucking bug in their own email server. And they were like, hey, guys, we're going to patch early on Tuesday. emailing it back and forth.
It's like they know there's a bug in the office, yet they still have every meeting in that office.
So it's like, well, the other conference room was booked, so we're just going to use this one.
Fucking dipshits.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what, like, that's probably what happened, was the Microsoft execs were like, well, we could go switch over to like Gmail for a week. Nah, like, we're not going to do that. Just keep using the Exchange server here. I don't know. It definitely seems to be a questionable volume that took place just days leading up to an unscheduled or an early rollout of this patch. But the scope at which how widespread this breach is, still completely unknown, but like everybody. And again, most government agencies, a lot of these like government policy think tanks, state level, local level agencies, almost all exclusively use Outlook web access and web services. So the scale of this is still huge, and we'll see, you know, we'll see if whatever Chinese group got all this information, like how much ransomware is going to be flowing down the pipeline that's going to be sold off to these ransomware companies that are going to now take all this email data that they've been scraping off of everybody's servers and start making it public or a part of a ransomware program. It's going to probably be ugly.
Yeah. More articles are just going to keep coming out of this, and we'll keep an eye out for the good ones.
All right. And then we've got... Are we moving into space news now already?
Yeah, I think we're finally in space. Yeah,
space news for the rest of the way here, and
we got like 8 minutes for space news.
We've got Russia has turned away from NASA and the Artemis Accords, and are looking to team up with China.
Yeah.
To create a moon base.
Team fuck, like, America.
Yeah, team fuck America, right there. So this follows, you know, the Biden administration has said that they're going to move forward with the Artemis program. Artemis program being the program that started during the Trump administration to establish a base over on the moon and to get back to the moon. And it's been pretty well known that the U.S. is looking at progressing on this Artemis program, looking at moving to the South Pole of the moon. South Pole of the moon has a significant deposit of ice on the South Pole of the moon. And that ice obviously then has water, which can be used to make oxygen. So there's all kinds of reasons why that is a key hub towards having a prolonged space station or something out on the lunar surface. And part of it was the U.S. created what's called the Artemis Accords, which was to get a bunch of partner nations to come up with like an ethical way and come up to an agreement on how we're going to proceed to the moon, and that team up together across all kinds of partner nations and then share any science that is learned, any science that is gained by moon exploration and research, whether it's U.S. or other countries, had to be collectively shared. So everybody in the world has access to that that research.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's going to be on their best behavior with that.
Didn't sign that. Guess who didn't
sign
that?
Team Fuck America. I'm gonna take a wild guess.
Like, nobody ever expected China to sign it, but people expected Russia to sign it. Because Russia and U.S., I mean, the international space, like, how awkward is it right now between the astronauts and the cosmonauts on the International Space Station right now across the hallway thinking like, really, guys? You guys didn't sign with us?
There's a lot of side eye going on in the space station right now.
And, but we've had a long history of working together with the Russian space agency. And now, man, that looks like it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like those days are gone.
Yeah.
They definitely said no. They specifically said, the Russian space agency said, that the Artemis Accords are too U.S.-centric and too U.S.-driven, and they're not behind it.
Yeah, so the space station right now is like when you have an apartment with your girlfriend, you break up, but it takes like a month for her to move out. It's just the most awkward fucking thing. Like, that's the space station right now between Americans and Russians.
And China has previously said that they have the exact same plan by 2036 to establish a base of operations or establish a foothold over in at the South Pole of the moon. Also trying to leverage and benefit from the ice that is built up there. So, you know, I'm not saying this is the new space race, but I'm saying we might want to get there first.
I'm not saying it's something that we need to win, but we probably should try.
So, yeah, we might want to get to that that big block of ice at the South Pole with our Artemis Accord before Russia and China figure it out. Just an idea.
All right, we got T-minus 5 minutes for the last three. Ah, let's pound them out. Let's pound them out.
Probably not gonna make it. let's go to the next one. We're still in the space world, and we're looking at some conflict out in space. And what do we have to use? Space Force. So this next one comes from Boing Boing, which is
friend of the show.
Our good days with Cory Doctorow. He's one of the founders over there at Boing Boing. But they wrote a piece about how we can't put the weapon back in its holster at this point in time. Space Force has now admitted that they have an operational weapon in out in space, and it supposedly has been there since last year, March of 2020. It's just recently been kind of admitted that it should be something classified as a weapon. A Space Force has a weapon. What it is it's a satellite jammer. It's a jamming system that can block all communications from a satellite getting back down to Earth.
Didn't we do the story on this, on China or Russia having the same thing?
I thought we did this. We might have. It might have been an electronic jamming story. I know we talked about it before. They have missiles that they've tested.
To take out satellites, yeah.
We did a
space weapon to take out satellites story before.
But this is not to take out satellites. This is just to render them temporarily inoperable through electronic jamming.
Yeah, Russians want to kill them. We just want to hold them hostage. We're the nice guys, right?
Now, Boing Boing is, and Cory Doctorow is very much about government overreach and government control. And what one of his big concerns, or the author of this article's big concerns, is that this space jamming, yes, it can be used. It's obviously a weapon that we've now demonstrated and talked about a capability. You can't, like, every country's going to look to do this. But then when you look at, like, military control, whether you're looking at the U.S. military or you're looking at other, like, foreign militaries, their ability to do this means that they also can control all telecom. Not just military telecom, but, like, they could just throttle and shut off, U.S. companies that are launching satellites all the time. They can just render a corporation's company.
Well, and anybody in that has a military background can tell you how damaging cutting off lines of communications are in times of war and things like that. So, like, this has huge implications.
Yeah, it's huge implications for the U.S. If we thought the government was going to, the part of what the article poses is, if the government's going to get involved in like enforcing certain regulations of these telecom companies and then throttling them or shutting them down if they don't meet certain like governmental restrictions. Well, that's not the role of the military. Like the military actually is, it's illegal for them to participate in enforcement.
Well, I'm going
to
find it really fucking funny when AT&T or Comcast yell at the fucking government about throttling fucking data speeds. When you fucking jagoffs like AT&T had to pay me a couple hundred fucking bucks for throttling my fucking data speeds. Like, ooh, nobody wants data throttles anymore. Like, oh, it's not really fucking cool when somebody else fucking tells you one thing and does another. You fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah. So it's about that here in the U.S., but then it's also about like, you know, the military coup that's taking place in Myanmar, right? When you give 10 years, 15 years down the road and any developed country has kind of this as a military capability, well, what can that country do in an authoritarian type, hey, we're gonna turn off all satellite benefit for our country outside of military use. You could really use it to continue to put an authoritarian
China and Korea, they already try to do these things. It's just way harder for them to block internet sites and block this and block that.
Yeah.
Now they just turn it off.
So it's definitely a concern as far as a capability out in space and who owns it, right? It's going to be exclusively owned by the military. It's going to be seen as a military weapon. But is it going to be used in like federal enforcement, regular like consumer enforcement, or somewhere down the road as like a military coup or military authoritarianism? All probably going to happen at some point in time.
Oh, for sure.
The existence of it taking place is going to it's going to happen. All right, keeping it going. Just we got a quick update for Tesla. My favorite part of this, it's not space, but Elon Musk, as of today, on Monday, they filed the SEC, which officially changes his title with the SEC, that he is no longer just the CEO of Tesla, but he has officially titled himself the Techno King of Tesla. And then also in this SEC filing, he has named Zach Kirkhorn his CFO. Has now been given the official SEC title of Master of Coin. So, so Elon Musk continues to just make a mockery and just tell his nerd jokes in whatever he can through federal tax filings. And
well, for someone that worked at a Chicago nightclub for 10 years, I can tell you right now, Techno King has a totally different meaning. There have been people wearing all black outfits for a long time in the nightclubs claiming they were the Techno King.
But yeah, so Elon, you can now refer to him as Techno King of Tesla. And then the CFO is now the Master of Coin. That's just great. I don't know if I could be any nerdier if I took over a company today. And I went ham on it. I went crazy about it. I don't know if I could just do it as well as he just accidentally does.
He has set the bar. That's for sure. He has set the bar. And I'm actually quite upset that there are not other companies taking this baton and running with it. Like, where's the other tech startups creating, like, you know, titles like this? And like, why is it just Elon? Like, is there nobody else cool in tech? Like, you guys always wanted to be the cool kids, and now you have the chance, and you're just fucking it up.
I think everybody else realizes that if they did this, they're going to lose like shareholder money because people are going to think that they've gone off the rails. And when Elon does it, his share price goes up because everybody just
convince them that this is creating a culture of acceptability and it's more profitable. I mean, if you can convince shareholders that it's beneficial for the company to have a Jamba Juice and ping pong tables in your fucking headquarters, you can convince them that it's profitable to be given titles like this. Like, I'm quite sure that it'll work out fine.
All right, and then last news about SpaceX and Elon here is this Texas town that he's trying to turn into this spaceport and like rename spaceport is the plans are coming out, and yeah, it's looking pretty large in the sense that, you know, the plans have two orbital launch pads found to be, one is already in construction, two suborbital launch pads, another two two landing pads that already exist have been built for the recapture of rockets, as well as a bunch of other structurals and stands to support a bunch of starships.
I like my guy Elon, but with the amount of these things that blow up, I'm not quick to move in just yet. I'm not so quick to buy up that condo just yet.
Yeah, well, I hopefully the town's at a pretty good distance away from the actual spaceport. But yeah, this spaceport is it's a massive complex and compound that already exists, and then what they're looking to add to it is pretty significant. So it's he's really building out this Texas place. He's really trying to create this Starhopper port that's going to eventually, once he stops exploding these starships and they can reliably launch them, that he has a place to amass a ton of them, and then on a probably almost near daily or at least weekly level.
Well, this is kind of what happened when we created the American freeway system. We created the freeways, and all of a sudden all these little towns just started popping up around exits and off ramps because people had access to it. This is what happens when you create access, and if this is where he wants to launch everybody out of, then there's going to be businesses around it, and it's just going to grow and grow. And yeah, spaceport.
All right.
Yeah,
we made it.
We're out of here. It. Yeah. No time for promos this week. The deal. Go to the group, join it, go to the Patreon page, subscribe to it, YouTube, subscribe, share, like, review. Boom.
Got it. All right. With all that said, thanks for listening. That's it for episode 138. We'll talk to you again next week, nerds.
See ya.